to go back and revisit a theme that I had the opportunity to begin several weeks ago, a couple of months actually. And when I knew I was going to have the opportunity to do the children's sermon, I was trying to figure out a series of sorts, at least to have some direction as times came available for me to do it. And around that time in our family devotions, we were reading through the children's Bible, and we were on the story of Joseph. So that in looking at those stories, there was so much that jumped out there to me that were pictures of Christ. And so that led me to attempt to try to put together some sort of a series. And we've looked at a couple of pictures already back in November. Initially, the story of Abraham and Isaac and the ram. And then we looked at Noah. I recalled as I was sitting last night and reading through, Hannah pointed out, I just realized you're reading through a bunch of children's Bibles. We have four or five different, and I had a stack of them, and I was reading the story of Joseph in all of the different ones just to familiarize myself with it in preparation this morning. And that's when I recalled, when we were in this story, reading through it as a family, that's when I decided to begin looking at these pictures of Jesus. You may remember me saying that a picture is worth a thousand words because it can tell a story. However, these pictures that we're looking at are made up of words. They aren't a painting, if you will, that we're looking at, but it's words on a page that are painting a picture many times of Christ, especially in the Old Testament. We have stories about real life events that happened to real people. And we can't put a value on them. A picture is worth a thousand words. These pictures of Christ are priceless. They're priceless pictures of our Lord, and they help us understand Him. They teach us about God and about His gospel. So having looked at a couple of pictures in Genesis already, I want to look at another picture this morning, the one of Joseph that I mentioned I had been reading and what led me to think about these pictures. Now, the story of Joseph is contained in a huge section of Scripture, so much so that we couldn't even read it in our time allowed here this morning. 14 chapters. The last 14 chapters in the book of Genesis are about the life of Joseph. And all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, are probably familiar with one primary thing about Joseph: the kind of coat that his dad gave him. Who can tell me what kind of coat his dad gave him? I heard it from the back row, a coat of many colors. That's what we remember. Joseph was his dad's favorite, and his dad gave him this coat of many colors. Now, all of Joseph's brothers already knew that he was the favorite, and this was like a stamp of approval. Yes, he's getting all of our dad's favoritism. Not only that, Joseph had dreams, a couple of dreams in particular, that he told his brothers about. And in these dreams, the interpretation of the dreams was that all of Joseph's brothers were going to one day bow down to him. The second dream that he had was that not only are his brothers going to bow down, but even his mom and dad were going to be bowing down to worship him, if you will. Now, one day when all of the older brothers were out farming, their dad began to worry about them. So he sent Joseph out to check on them. And when the brothers saw Joseph coming, immediately they said, "Here's our chance. That boy, our brother, our dad's favorite, he's coming and our dad isn't around. Here's our chance to get rid of him." And they made a plan. Initially, their plan was to just kill him, do away with him altogether, and not to have to deal with it anymore. But the oldest brother said, "No, don't really think that us killing him is the best option. Let's just put him down here in a deep well, a deep hole in the ground with no water until we can decide what to do." They sat down to eat and they saw Egyptians coming through, some traders on their way back to Egypt. And they decided to sell their brother to be a slave. And not only did they sell him, But they took this coat of many colors, that stamp of favoritism in their eyes, killed a goat, put blood all over it, took the coat back to Jacob, their dad, and said, "Is this coat Joseph's?" And he said, "Yes, it is." "Well, we found it, and it's covered up with blood, so a wild animal must have killed him. He must be dead." Joseph, however, wasn't dead. He was sold into slavery, and he was promoted, actually, in this life of slavery, promoted to head of the house of Potiphar's house. He became overseer of all of Potiphar's belongings. But Potiphar's wife wasn't so kind to Joseph. She tempted Joseph to sin, but Joseph remained faithful. However, she lied about him, and Joseph was thrown in prison. While he was there in jail, other people who worked for Potiphar were thrown into jail as well, a baker and a butler. And while they were in jail, they had dreams. And they came to Joseph and said, "We had these dreams. What do you think they mean?" And Joseph told them exactly what they mean. "Well, for the baker, this is what your dream means. In 3 days, you're going to get out of here. But that's not good news, because they're going to hang you. And for the butler, in 3 days, you're going to get out of here. But it is good news for you, because you're going to be set free." And Joseph said, "When you get out of here, don't forget me. Remember me." But the butler did forget Joseph. And 2 years later, 2 years Joseph spent in jail, Pharaoh had a dream, not just one dream, but two. And when he's going to all of his wise men around trying to figure out what is this dream about, then the butler remembers, "I had a dream one time, and there was a man who told me what the dream meant." He remembered Joseph, and Joseph was called, and he interpreted the dream with the help of God and said, "There is a famine coming. There will be 7 years of plenty, but there will be 7 years of famine following that." And the Pharaoh was so happy, so impressed with Joseph, that again, he exalts him, takes him from jail, and puts him over all of his house, to the degree that he said, "No one in the kingdom is greater than you, except for myself." So 7 years went by. Joseph stored up all of the extra grain, and the famine did come 7 years later. There was no food, the Bible tells us, in all of the earth, except in Egypt. And the only reason that there was food in Egypt is because God had helped Joseph interpret the dream. When Jacob and his family began, 2 years into the famine, began to get hungry and realize there's no food, they heard there is food in Egypt. So he sent the brothers, the same brothers that had sold Joseph into slavery, to Egypt to buy grain. From Joseph, actually. And through a series of events, Joseph eventually identifies himself to his brothers. And then goes on and invites the entire family to Egypt. Now you can imagine the brothers must have been terribly afraid. I mean, Joseph came to them because he knew that they were fearful and said, "Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." And again, "God sent me before you," Joseph said, "to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you," Joseph said, "who sent me here, but God. And he made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt." What we see here in Joseph's life is that God was in control. And he was doing primarily this one thing in all of Joseph's life, in all of the circumstances, in the hardship of being sold into slavery and going into prison. God was saving his people. And even Joseph realized that. He realized all that he had been through. He wasn't feeling sorry for himself. He was realizing God is in control. I mean, he said, "You didn't send me here. God did." Now, this is a wonderful picture of Christ. The important thing in looking at the pictures of Christ is to remember there's something deeper here, something more real, with more substance It's a mere shadow. Yes, Joseph was real and this situation was real and God was really saving his people. But it's telling us a story of a greater salvation that's happening. Joseph was sold by his own brothers. When Jesus came to his own did not receive him. Joseph was given a robe to point out his favoritism from his father. Jesus was given a robe in mockery. He claimed to be king of the Jews, so they gave him a robe. Jesus' robe was soaked with blood as well, but it wasn't the blood of a goat. It was his own blood. Jesus wasn't sold into slavery, but he really was killed. And when Peter at Pentecost is preaching a sermon, the first great sermon recorded in the book of Acts, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it." Joseph, you sold me to his brothers. God sent me to preserve life. Joseph, in chapter 50, verse 20, you, brothers, meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Again, the same reason, to preserve life. And Peter in the New Testament says, you, speaking to us, you, from the oldest to the youngest among us, you crucified and killed Jesus. And Peter exclaims, God planned his death. And just like Joseph was raised up from being a slave and from being in prison, God raised him up from the dead for our justification. Again, it's to preserve life. An amazing picture we have in the life of Joseph, of God working all things for the good of his people. Rescuing, saving. And it's the same kind of thing with Jesus to an even greater degree. Not a short-term rescue in Egypt so that one day they would be in bondage again in Egypt and eventually let out by Moses. But we are in bondage to sin, slaves of it, in prison to sin. And Jesus died to set us free from that. God raised him up again to preserve life. May God help us as we see Old Testament stories, as we sit and read the Old Testament, whether in a children's Bible or in the Hebrew Old Testament. No matter what we see, God give us grace to see Christ on the pages. That it isn't just a mere story about a man, but it's a story about the God-man, about Jesus Christ who came and died and was raised again to preserve life, our lives. Let's pray. Our God, we ask now that you would help us, aid us, come alongside us as we continue worshiping you in order that we might know him, in order that we might know Jesus Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection, in order that we might be known by you, God, we ask you to help us as we worship for Christ's sake. Amen.
Please visit our website at heartcrymissionary.com. There you will find information about the ministry, our purpose, beliefs and methodologies, and extensive information about the missionaries we are privileged to serve.